Again. First, I went to an establishment known
for its... Let's hear the recap later, Doc.
Mount up. We've got some hard riding to do.
Where are we going?
We're going after Mildred. Garrig wasn't going to let us take a free ride on this one, so we're making a break for it. And those soldiers from that unit in White Sands are here, too. I don't get the feeling they're here to ask a bunch of questions.
You don't waste any time getting into trouble, do you?
Christy turned towards Jack, who remained on the street.
Jack, catch!
Jack caught the pouch. A brief check inside showed him Plasek's charges, already set up with time detonators.
Ryan's going to need help, Jack. He had those set aside for you.
What for?
Garrig's wags. They're some out back. Ryan's taking care of the ones in front of the bent rows.
Jack slid the pouch strap over his shoulder. He moved to the free horse closest to JB, who threw the animal's reins down to him. A second horse's reins were looped around the pommel of his, and he knew that one was intended for Ryan.
Yeah!
Jack rode the horse tight, hanging on with his knees rather than depending on the stirrups to handle his weight. Two wags were behind the tavern, both of them outfitted with the oversized tires that indicated Garrig and his people took them on their raids into the Celtic territories on occasion. Jack reached into his pouch and grabbed up the first Plasek's charge. He set the detonator for 60 seconds. As he tossed it into the window of a truck, a bullet ripped through the side view mirror.
Whoa!
Jack's horse shied away from the noise and the flying debris, and it took Jack a moment to regain control. Ignoring his assailant and focusing on the task at hand, Jack brought out the second explosive pack and set the timer somewhere between 40 and 50 seconds. Suddenly, Jack's attention was seized by a stiletto as its blade sliced the thin flesh webbing between his thumb and forefinger. Blood immediately trickled down into his grip, causing him to lose his hold on the second explosive.
Shit!
It went tumbling down and dropped into the sun-baked alley, a dozen yards from the second target wag. Jack turned in the saddle, hunkering down low as he did. Swinging off the side of the horse, but maintaining a grip on the reins, he swung his hand out with his fingertips extended. He flipped the Plasek's charge, and it rolled under the second wag. An irregular shadow along the eaves drew his attention. Jack made out the man with difficulty, small and rat-faced, wearing glasses and bringing up a machine pistol. The man's uniform gave no doubt about his connection to the military force from White Sands, New Mexico. The man had been trying to take Jack down without alerting anyone to the fact. To manage the knife throw downward onto a man on horseback and come as close as he had was impressive. The soldier dropped to a knee, swinging up his machine pistol toward Jack. Jack felt the horse's legs convulse beneath him. He rolled free from his stirrup and managed to reach for one of his leaf-bladed knives in a single motion. He swiped the keen edge across the rein, securing the second horse to the saddle pommel of the first, then caught them up as they fell loose. He spun, grasping at his remaining knives as he swung into the back of the second horse. Crossing the alleyway, Jack flicked two leaf-bladed knives toward the soldier. Jack didn't need to double back to confirm the critical damage to the wags. He kicked the horse's sides, urging it forward. His first mission was accomplished. Now he needed to find Ryan. Meanwhile, Sergeant Conti had already found Ryan and was watching him in motion around the wags. He couldn't tell what the man was doing. He also didn't know who had set off the explosions behind the bent rows, but it was clear that his own stealth operation had gone to hell. The men inside the bent rows, who'd evidently been there to help hold Carter and his band under loose house arrest, were now spilling into the street, apparently ready to kill any outsiders. Conti pressed a button on his radio.
Cobra 1 to Cobra Team, pull back, now! We've stepped into shit. Regroup. Carter's making a break. He'll head for the gate more than likely.
Conti looked over his shoulder and saw the white-haired youth suddenly gallop around the side of the bent rows. Ryan was in motion at once, running for the albino and the horse. Whipping around, Conti brought his H&K MP5 to bear, thinking he could at least put Carter down. Then, the Jeep in front of the bent rows suddenly exploded, bathing the area in a blinding flash of light that caught Conti unprepared.
Ryan!
Jack's hand closed around Ryan's wrist with wiry strength. Swinging around behind Jack, Ryan drew a bead on one of Garrig's men lying in a prone position on the front eaves of the bent rows.
Yeah!
No horse for me?
Get one if you want it.
That's okay. Christy and the rest?
Gone to the gate.
Scanning the shadows along the street, Ryan was unable to spot any of the soldiers from the White Sands Redoubt, but he did catch sight of a rider approaching with another half dozen horses close behind.
Shit! Here comes Garrig.
God damn it, Porter! You're
Jack rode hard around a number of turns before Ryan spotted the gate ahead of them. The doors were already open, and at least three dead men lay in the vicinity. Garrick and his men opened up. Ryan returned fire. Jack guided the horse toward the gate, keeping to the left. Ryan jabbed another magazine home, holding onto the horse with his knees. The horse dashed through the gate. Jack headed the animal up the incline to the left. Once they were in the tree line, they'd be more difficult targets. A shadow moved to Ryan's left, and it was more instinct than sight that made him swivel to his blind side. A rider was joining them. Ryan covered him with the Sig Sauer's open sights. Then he saw moonlight flash on JB's glasses.
Whoa! I brought a going-away present.
In the dim moonlight, Ryan identified the shape in JB's hand to be the remote control detonator they'd found in White Sands. As Garrick's men rode through the gate, JB pressed the button. Ryan couldn't tell if Garrick was among the dead scattered in the wreckage, but it didn't matter.
Jack, get us the hell out of here.
Sound good.
Yeah! Yeah!
Soon they saw Christy and the others waiting in a small clearing up ahead in the forest. Tarragon was leaning over the pommel of his saddle, a thin line of drool slicking out the side of his mouth. He had a gray pallor.
Whoa!
Jack dismounted and moved to Tarragon's steed. He put both hands on the other horse's rump and heaved himself aboard behind Tarragon. Jack wrapped an arm around the boy and helped him sit up straight.
His fever back.
We're gonna have to push on. JB maybe slowed them down some, but they won't give up. Not for a while.
Ryan glanced again at Tarragon. The Celtic boy was their ticket into the Celticville, and a chance at rescuing Mildred, if she was still alive. Tarragon fumbled for the bag of medicines fastened around his neck. He opened it and shook some of the contents out into his palm, which he then put in his mouth and started chewing. Jack unstoppered a canteen and handed it back to the boy.
Thank you.
Once those people get reorganized, they will come for us again. Garrick does not appear to be a Christian soul. Forgiveness, doubtless, is not part of his itinerary.
No. Jack, can you take care of Tarragon while we move?
Sure.
JB, you got the rear. I'll take point. Christy, you're after me. Then Jack and the boy. Doc, you're next. Let's move.
Ryan pointed his horse east, intending to keep angling up the incline to keep the terrain working against whatever followers they might have. He figured they could get back to the Celticville by early morning, hopefully pre-light. His cron showed that it was a little after 1 a.m. JB was as good as they came, and Ryan knew his back was covered. Concentrating on the forest stretching out before him, he kept his senses alert, knowing possible death dogged the group every step of the way. And he was sure it lay in wait at the Celticville, too. They traveled for the next 4 hours, putting a lot of miles of hard terrain behind them. The animals were badly worn by the steady pace and from the cold ghosting across the land under the pale quarter moon. Ryan glanced back and saw that Christy was staying about 30 yards behind him, close enough to cover him if she needed to, and far enough back that she stood a chance of escape in case he was brought down. Ahead of him, the land gradually rose, losing itself in the trees and brush and thick gray fog that had coiled in from the sea. 70 yards up, it seemed to drop off.
Whoa!
Ryan tied the reins of his horse to a sapling, leaving them in a slipknot he could disengage with a yank. He stepped away from the horse and signaled to Christy to send Jack up and let JB know they were holding their present position.
Whoa!
The boy?
Fever broke. Couple, 3 hours ago. Keep water down now. A little bread. He'll live.
Good. We're going forward for a look-see. Horses will make too much bastard noise.
Boy says we're getting close.
Kind of figured that. Let's see what's up ahead. Quiet as we can make it.
Sure, Ryan.
Jack tied his horse and pulled a knife. Ryan kept his grip on the stire. It wasn't silenced, but it made a mean club if he needed it to. And the stopping power of the 7.62mm slug at close range was nothing short of formidable, if keeping silent wasn't possible.
Ah, damn!
Suddenly, a vine flashed by his face, then coiled taut around a tree that was close enough for him to reach out and touch. But Ryan kept moving, swiveling his head to track the continued motion. Keeping the stire up, to block if there was a need, he slipped the ponga free.
Plants.
Another tendril whipped at Ryan, a deadly spur exposed in the vegetable flesh and dripping